It is May 8th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. On Friday, the World Health Organization ended the global emergency status for COVID-19 more than 3 years after its original declaration, Reuters reported. However, the next crisis that will keep people from traveling to the U.S. is emerging. While the world was focused on the coronation of King Charles III in the U.K., the U.S. was dealing with another mass shooting and news that now 7 countries have issued travel advisories for the United States. The list of countries telling their citizens to be diligent about risks, including mass shootings, are New Zealand, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, France, Venezuela, and Uruguay. There have now been more mass shootings in the U.S. than days in 2023. I don't mean to make too much of this, as it is only 7 countries, but 5 of them are key U.S. allies. On the positive side, the number of people back in the office in Chicago has hit another high, Crane Chicago Business reported. But this is not the biggest threat we face. The debt ceiling standoff is. According to U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, there are no good alternatives to Congress lifting the debt ceiling, and the use of the 14th Amendment by President Biden would create a constitutional crisis, Bloomberg reports. Former presidential advisor Lawrence H. Tribe has an essay in the New York Times that addresses the debt ceiling issue and maybe gives us an out titled, Why I Changed My Mind on the Debt Limit. I'm sorry for not having learned how to whistle better during my childhood. Evidently, it can pay off big time. The SEC has paid a whistleblower a record $279 million in the largest ever award, it said on Friday. That is more than double the previous record. In other news, according to a Wall Street Journal story, male stock analysts with dominant faces get more information and have better forecast. The subheadline is, Women analysts with perceived dominant faces, however, are at a competitive disadvantage, a study suggests. Why do I suspect we will have a whole bunch of hiring based on this? How do you top the most interesting man in the world in the kilt challenge? You get a bunch of ABN AMRO clients and employees to join you in a 265-mile bike ride from Amsterdam to London. That is how. Robert Bouge, the CEO of ABN AMRO Clearing Europe, is heading off on the 4th of June for London on a trek to raise money for Futures for Kids and the Kilt Challenge he accepted from Pat Kenny. Join me in supporting Robert in his ride and the challenge. Newt Minow, the former head of the FCC during the Kennedy administration, who called television a vast wasteland in a speech and was a prominent attorney with the law firm of Sidley Austin, died at the age of 97, Crane Chicago Business reported. John Davidson signed off to a 43-year career, including as CEO of the OCC, with lyrics from a song by Elton John and Bernie Taupin. So goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, where the dogs of society howl. You can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow, back to the howling old owl in the woods, hunting the horny back toad. Oh, I finally decided my future lies beyond the Yellow Brick Road. Congratulations to JLN staffer Alex Tang, who graduated from the University of Illinois at Chicago this weekend. He wrote a note on LinkedIn about his journey and what is next. It's been an honor and a privilege to have Alex work for JLN. He has done incredible work on options discovery. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video interview with Telarium. The headline is, Telarium ready to grow with XTX and reciprocal investment. John Lothia News interviewed Stanislav Emerlov of Telarium about a March 2023 fundraising round that saw it raise funds from XTX Markets and venture capital firm Reciprocal. We talked to Emerlov about Telarium's plans for the funds. Telarium aimed at the listed exchange energy business. This investment helped the company improve its technology and scale its business, Emerlov said. He wants to make a substantial investment in product development to grow the company across a range of markets, he said. Telarium will expand across the energy complex with this investment, he said. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from CTV News. ChatGPT AI can pick better stocks than fund manager. A basket of stocks selected by ChatGPT, a chatbot powered by artificial intelligence, that's AI, has far outperformed some of the most popular investment funds in the United Kingdom. Between March 6 and April 28, a dummy portfolio of 38 stocks gained 4.9%, while 10 leading investment funds clocked an average loss of 0.8%, according to an experiment conducted by financial comparison site Finder.com. It wouldn't be long until large numbers of consumers try to use ChatGPT for financial gain, John Osler, Finder's CEO, said in a statement earlier this week. My comment, even a broken clock can be right twice a day. What is ChatGPT AI's long-term record? Here's a story from the Financial Times. Blue Sky tries a new answer to the social network question. If you want to know what the app is like, imagine Twitter, but smaller, weirder, and without Elon Musk's shenanigans. Instagram is for posers, Twitter is full of trolls, and Facebook is old. Surely no one has room in their lives for more social media. Yet here comes Blue Sky, a shiny new Twitter lookalike so popular that invitations to join are in high demand. For those of us who spend too much time online, Blue Sky invite codes carry bragging rights. Like a private party, the strict guest list has created a queue of people who want to get in. On eBay, Blue Sky invitations are on sale for hundreds of dollars. My comment, I'm awaiting my invitation to join. Here's a story from the Financial Times. AI needs super intelligent regulation. Effective brakes can help the industry move faster. This is from the editorial board. Powerful artificial intelligence systems can be of enormous benefit to society and help us tackle some of the world's biggest problems. Machine learning models are already playing a significant role in diagnosing diseases, accelerating scientific research, boosting economic productivity, and cutting energy usage by optimizing electricity flows on power grids, for example. My comment. Now we just need to find the rainbow-colored unicorn that is super intelligent regulation. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Over My Dead Body, Backlash Builds Against $3 Trillion Clean Energy Push. Ballooning size of wind and solar projects draws local ire as much as they march closer to populated areas. The federal government has ignited a green energy investment spree that's expected to reach as high as $3 trillion over the next decade. The road to spending that money, though, is increasingly hitting speed bumps from the likes of Jerry Kaufman. About an hour southwest of Kansas City, she turned down a wind lease last year on a farm that has been in her family since 1866. Someone knocked on her door a few months later, paperwork in hand, and offered $6,000 to hang a wind power transmission line across her land. If she agreed to store construction equipment, she stood to make an additional $4,000. Miss Kaufman said no. My comment: how much money would you have to be offered to give up your peace and quiet? Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. exchanges list more than a dozen cryptos the SEC says are illegal to sell. Number of tokens regulator has labeled as securities almost tripled in 2022. The Securities and Exchange Commission has been waging a campaign to regulate cryptocurrencies since 2017, arguing it has the authority to oversee many digital coins and the platforms that trade them. The SEC can only regulate digital coins that are classified as securities, a category that includes assets such as stocks and bonds. SEC Chair Gary Gensler has said most crypto tokens fall within that category. That means many are distributed illegally because securities can only be sold to the public if they are registered with the SEC and the issuers provide financial and risk disclosures. My comment: how can so many people get this wrong? Classic case of pioneering. You can tell the crypto pioneers, they are the ones with the SEC arrows in their backs. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Coinbase tries novel defense in SEC fight from the Wall Street Journal. Second was John Lothian News video interview. CQG's Maroney and Kenny talked to John Lothian News about new Broadridge partnership and new products and technology. Third was a tie between Bloomberg's Coinbase is facing an existential risk as SEC reigns in crypto, and the Telegraph's brace yourselves, the banking crisis is just getting started about Jamie Dimon. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Our lead story is the fast-growing kingdom of Jamie Dimon. The question now is whether JP Morgan is too big for its own good. His ears are smaller, and there is no crown. But on Wall Street, at least, Jamie Dimon is America's answer to King Charles III. Adulated by some, resented by others, but incontrovertibly powerful. Days before the British monarch's coronation, Dimon cemented his royal status in finance with another landmark deal for JP Morgan Chase, the bank he has led since 2005. With the state-orchestrated takeover of failing First Republic, J.P. Morgan has swelled to three times its size before the 2008 financial crisis, and now commands an asset base of nearly $4 trillion. The second story is from Robin Wigglesworth of the Financial Times. The story, the ChatGPT market shock, an attempt to quantify the impact of the generative AI frenzy. People love to debate the impact of AI, debate the debate about AI, and debate the debate about the debate about AI. But let's take a look at what actually matters, the impact on financial markets. A couple of weeks ago, we wrote about how JP Morgan had estimated that generative AI hype had already generated about $1.4 trillion of market cap this year, mostly by using the 2022 market value added by generative AI adjacent stocks like Alphabet, Microsoft, Meta, and Nvidia. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Dubai's growing commodities hub is now enticing London traders. Sanctions attracted traders of Russian commodities to Dubai. The growing hub, low tax, is now drawing other merchants there. London's commodity merchants are following some of their Swiss peers to Dubai as the Emirate moves from being an outpost focused on crude to a major energy trading hub. Dubai has long tried to attract more commodity companies, investing in banking infrastructure and developing exchange-traded futures. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.